Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in his zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over, right? It is over. The Cubs are World Series champions. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars. Infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mullion Haw.
Woo-hoo!
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's opening day. It's opening day, and it is a holiday in Chicago and in every major league city. It's a holiday everywhere in a town that celebrates baseball, and it's time now to do that by going out to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. Coom, how are you doing? Ron Coomer, The Score's baseball expert and analyst, and Pat Hughes' sidekick. How are you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. How are you, David?
Doing well. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a fun season. It all begins today. What do you remember? Let's start there, Coom. I think that in doing my limited research here, your first opening day as a player would have been, what, 96 with the Twins?
96, that's correct.
What do you remember about that?
I just remember the chills of just being a big league player. You know, I got traded to the Twins the year before at the trade deadline, August 1st. And, you know, then you go into big league camp and you're, you know, I was like a lot of, like some of these young guys who were trying to make the team year, right? You don't know if you're going to make the team. Nothing was guaranteed. I had a split contract. So if I went back to the minor leagues, I was making minor league money. And, you know, the battle the last, three or four days of spring training of trying to make the team and then making the team, just knowing how happy you were. And then to run out onto the line, you know, you're like, whew, you know, everything you've ever wanted to do as a kid, you know, from Little League on up, you've been dreaming of this moment. And it kind of comes to fruition, right?
Exactly. Coop, you're going to be out at the ballpark, obviously, for the game, 12:45 pregame. But before that, you're going to be over at Sluggers with a bunch of people. And that's where the Bernstein and Holmes show with Layla Rahimi will be 10 to 12:45. Go out and celebrate at Sluggers Sports Bar in Wrigleyville later this morning. Zach is going to do the pregame there beginning at 12:45. They stop by, say hi, get some swag, say hi to Coom, shake some hands. All presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Coom, in terms of the weather, in terms of the atmosphere, is the atmosphere great enough on opening day to offset the weather? It's going to be 44 degrees, I think, for the first pitch. What factor will that play, if any?
It's going to factor in, there's no doubt. And as you know, David, growing up here too and going to so many games, the wind is the biggest factor at Wrigley. You got two guys that know how to pitch. They're both veteran pitchers, Barnes and Stroh, and they're going to pitch to the weather, right? They're going to be on the attack. The wind, from what I gather from last night's weather report, is going to be blowing in off the lake. So if you're a pitcher, you want the guy to try to hit the ball to the opposite field and get it elevated And if they do that, as you're, if you're a pitcher, you're going to be in great shape. I was listening to you a little while ago, and as you were talking about this pitch clock, well, you got a chance at a two-hour game today if that what I'm saying now comes into play, because the ball will get put in play. And, you know, to hit a ball out of the ballpark at Wrigley today with the wind blowing in and cold could be tough if, you know, the right-handers are trying to go oppo.
Coom, let's talk about that for a moment, the rules changes that I think people are going to notice as much as anything. They're going to see players in new uniforms. They're going to see teams that they're, you know, fun to see them playing baseball. But the most dramatic change, I think, in the game will be the pace of it. You look at spring training, and I'm sure you noticed that games were, on average, 26 minutes shorter than they were a year ago. Stolen bases way up in terms of the numbers. The banning the shift improved the batting averages. How do you describe what is going on in baseball? Is it a dramatic change? Is it going to be something people are going to like, dislike? What's your prediction, Coom?
Well, let's just go through the rules. So the first one and the most dramatic that, and I agreed with you wholeheartedly, was the pitch clock, right? And that changing the pace of the game was needed. I agreed with the guys that were calling in to talk to you. That was needed. We saw dramatic change in spring training. Spring training games were getting to the point where they were usually about 3.5 hours. And now we're talking about 2.5 hours. You rarely got a game under 3 hours in spring over the last 6-7 years. So now we rarely had a game over 2:35, let's say, in spring. Now, when you don't have all the pitching changes like you do and the dramatic lineup changes like you do in spring training, you know, it could be even more significant as the regular season goes on, especially when you get two really good starting pitchers. The pace of the game could really be going. So that's going to be significant. And I like it. I really do. I don't know how you feel, but I know you feel that you like it. But I think this is a really good thing for our game.
Watching the games didn't seem as long in spring training. I think that obviously you watch spring training games differently than you watch regular season games starting today, Coom, because of what they mean. And there's still a laziness to baseball in March in Arizona or Florida, wherever the case may be. But I appreciated the way the tempo picked up. I'm looking forward to seeing how that affects, you know, the experience from a fan point of view today. But I ask you this. You've seen now every Cub pitcher go through the paces and pick up the pace, if you will. Is it going to affect anybody more significantly than the next guy? Everybody's a creature of habit, and guys get set in their ways. Overall, have there been an acceptance or an adjustment level here? Do you worry about anybody not being able to do that?
I don't any longer. I did at the beginning of spring, when the first week of games, as I was watching, we broadcast the first game. Then we didn't broadcast some games for a little bit. And I was at the ballpark every day. And I just wanted to see from my own eyes what it was going to do. And I really felt like the veteran players in our game were having more of a struggle with the new rules, the time part of the rules, than anybody else. The younger guys in the game, they've gone through this in the minor leagues already. So they were just playing. And I thought it was funny. A couple of the hitters, it just didn't get in and get in the box, and all of a sudden they're looking up and the umpire's coming out from behind home plate yelling, and hell, I was sitting in the press box and I didn't know what he was doing. I'm like, am I missing something? What happened? And I'm looking around the field like, wow, is this the same game I've been a part of for the last 35 years, or what's going on?
This may have nothing to do about the game that's going on in the field, but I have to ask you this. When you're watching, when you're analyzing, when you're trying to make your points, do you have to do that quicker now? Do you have to tell shorter stories? Because, you know, let's face it, when you're listening to you and Pat, there's a rhythm to it. There's a very relaxed pacing to, you know, Pat's conversational tone, to the way that you chime in, to Zach and his contributions. Does everything happen faster now in those conversations?
Well, Mitch sent coffee into the booth for the opening day, and it's double calf. So There is a change. There's no doubt. I think we're going to, at times, you might miss a pitch or two because you're trying to talk about what you're doing. I don't think we will miss much. You definitely won't miss any action. So in that regard, I don't think we're going to miss anything that's going to be significant. Right?
I'm not worried about missing action. I'm worried about missing your stories or Pat's puns or Zach's humor. I want those to maintain intact.
The Hall of Famer, we're not going to let anybody miss out on the Hall of Famer. And we got to have Zach laughing. My antidote, I don't know. We'll take him or leave him sometimes. I don't know.
We'll take him.
But they're
Coach.
Good. Yeah, but we're going to be fine. You know, the great thing about our game is we all learn to adjust. And I think we're learning to adjust to this time clock. And it was great to have as much time as we did in spring training. And at the end of the day, David, my point being made is I really felt like the umpires did a good job policing this rule early in spring and making everybody aware of it, so it's not a shock now. So I think everybody is good with the pacing of the rule and actually trying to figure out how to use the rule to your advantage. I saw some pitchers using that to their advantage, holding the baseball on the mound with men on base and kind of freezing the hitter. So there's going to be some of that too, and I'm trying to figure out some of those little pieces that, you know, pitchers are going to be able to use against the hitter. And I did figure some of it out, and that's not going to be good for the hitter, but it is what it is.
A couple more things about the rules before we dive into the roster and the season. Coom, when you look at the bigger bases and how the numbers have shown in spring training, an increase in steal attempts and successful steals as well. And then you look at the shift and banning the shift and how that has increased batting averages. Are there players on the Cubs who specifically that will help either stay on the roster, have a better season, or benefit from? You know, they don't have a lot of speed necessarily. They don't have a lot of guys who are just one-dimensional in that way. But if there is somebody who might benefit from maybe taking a few more chances at stealing a base or maybe not having the shift, who might those guys be?
Well, I think when you look at the Cubs lineup, the first four to five guys, depending on who hits fifth. So let's say you go and it's Horner, Swanson, Happ, let's say the center fielder, right? And or who maybe a Wisdom. You start looking at three, four, five, six. We start looking at guys that can run. And we saw that the other day. Now, Swanson struggled hitting. But then the last couple days, all of a sudden, it was like, okay, boys, it's time for me to get started now. Enough with, you know, running for mayor and doing the contract and everybody being happy. It's time for me to play baseball. Boom, boom. Two home runs the last 2 days of camp. The day before that, some base hits. He stole a couple bases, made an impact on the bases. So I think what you're looking at is the Cubs being more athletic than we're accustomed to seeing. And the other thing, David, that's really going to change that we're not talking about a lot is the contact hitter, right?
Right.
The contact hitter has got a place in our game again because now that you're not shifting, he's not hitting right into the shift, right? That ground ball through the right side for a right-handed hitter, a la Nick Madrigal, that's a play now. That's going to come into play because you're not shifting. And you're actually having those guys on the roster as opposed to the guy that's coming off the bench maybe just looking at a three-run homer. The contact guy is making the team now, and a lot of those guys can run, so that's where the base will come in and possible stolen
base. That's the guy who specifically I thought would benefit the most from these changes. As long as Christopher Morel is going to stay in Iowa to start the season, Nick Madrigal would be the guy that you think of. If he gets enough at-bats that we notice, he can be somebody who benefits from banning the shift or maybe even, you know, the increase in aggressiveness on the base path. I wonder about that. Coom, how long before we see, though, teams begin to gamble by taking the left fielder? And you can manipulate these rules the way that, you know, so you still have the same kind of effect of having shifts in place, but it also creates a bigger gamble by taking an outfielder, putting him in the infield. Is that going to be a thing?
It could be with certain guys, right? If you start, if your spray charts that you have all of a sudden start showing that the guy is still hooking the ball. Mm-hmm. In particular, the left-handed power guy that's constantly hooking the ball to right field. Then you may get a chance where the left fielder comes over and plays in that triangle position at short right field area, and you keep the infielders on the dirt. It is a big risk, though, because, boy, that little flare the other way. Now you talk about no man's land. A guy does that one time in the left field, and you're easy double, possible triple if the ball just trickles down into the corner and it's not hit hard at all. It could be broken back. So I only saw it one time in spring, and it wasn't live. It was on TV where they did it against, I believe, the Twins, and they did it early in camp. Then we didn't see it again. So I think teams are not wanting to show their hand early in spring and in spring training. So I think we'll see it maybe a little more during the regular season. But, boy, it's a big risk when you leave, you know, half the field wide open in the outfield. That's a big risk.
Kuma, I quote you a lot when talking about this Cub team and the difference in this one and last year's, that you like to say they've got big leaguers now. Not that's any no disrespect to last year's team, but it was younger, it was developing, and we saw them progress well when they finished the season 39-31. But how would you describe the biggest, most noticeable difference in that presence of veterans this year? The infusion of guys like Bellinger, Mancini, Hosmer, Tyone even, veterans who have done things before at other places. What's been the most noticeable difference for you in that regard?
Well, I think when you look at rosters and you see, you know, the majority of the roster kind of, and I was one of them, bright-eyed, you know, when you first get into the league and everything's new and you're looking around like, is this right? Is that right? Am I doing this okay? And that's all okay. It's fine. And everybody goes through it. Every single guy on this Cubs roster, whether you're young or old, has gone through that. This year's roster, though, has a lot less, it has a lot more veteran presence, let's say. And they've been through all this. They've won championships. They've been MVPs. You know, Bellinger, I think, what is he, 27? This guy's already been an MVP. And he's had his major ups and he's had some downs already. And now he's in camp going, I just got to figure this out, right? So you don't see that panicky look on guys' faces this spring. You know, Hosmer's another one. Mancini was a guy that really stood out to me like, you know what? I've gone through this, so I'm wearing a different uniform again. And he's just going through his routine and in his work. And, you know, there's a calmness about guys that have been in the league for a while that know how to play at this level, and it's not so new. Better or worse, that doesn't really matter. It's just you can feel that sense of calm that I got this. I've done this.
It affects the way that David Ross will manage this team. I mean, because he doesn't have to be the guy that is. You treat veterans differently than you treat guys who are unproven.
No doubt. David was the proven guy that helped police the dugout. You know, when I remember there was a pitcher for the Cubs that swung 3-0, you know, when David was playing. And I asked David about it the next day, and he goes, yeah, I had to go tell him, you're a pitcher. I don't care how good an athlete you think you are, you're still a pitcher. You don't swing 3-0. We don't do that here. And I just laughed because I was sitting in the booth going, what are we watching? This guy's a pitcher. Just take the pitch and hope you get a walk. And he confirmed it the next day, and we were just laughing. It's things like that, you know, you've got veteran presence now. It's not going to be all on David to go up and down the dugout and talking to guys about situations. You've got guys that have done it in a World Series and have been MVPs and made these big pitches in big games. So, you know, he's got a lot of help with the guys that he's going to have in his dugout.
All right, Coom, stay put because I want to ask you about some roster decisions that maybe were very interesting this week. I want to ask you about the Nico Horner contract extension and then certainly the expectations for 2023. Ron Coomer, the Scores baseball analyst, is joining us for the entire 7 o'clock hour. This is Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It means that I'm a very happy friend and you know, very proud of him and couldn't be more excited for, you know, what that, you know, will do for him and his family, and you know, he's very happy about it, which I think is incredible.
Welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Opening day. We're all ready. We're all set. We're having fun. We're talking to Ron Coomer, The Score's baseball analyst. And that was Ian Happ, who was on the Bernstein and Holmes show the other day. And the Bernstein and Holmes show will be, along with Leila Rahimi, at Sluggers today, broadcasting live from 10 to 12:45. That's when Zach Zabin takes over Cubs pregame, Cubs Brewers, right here on The Score at 120. So, Coom, Nico Hoerner, three-year contract extension, $35 million. I think Cubs fans, and maybe you are in this group, felt a little bit just relieved. Here was a homegrown product that was sticking around for a second contract. And regardless of the terms, it seems very team-friendly, but it's also good for the player. He's only played in one full season. This is one of those deals, Coom. It feels good for both sides.
Yeah, I would agree. And you know, when you look at the player that he is, and the, you know, to be quite honest, that he gave it the big thumbs up, right, to move positions. He's your first round pick. He played at Stanford. This is a guy that, you know, expects to be a really good big league player, and he's moving his position to make the team better. Now Dansby Swanson was a great pickup for the Chicago Cubs and is going to turn out to be a great sign, I believe, for a long time. But you did ask your young player who you drafted in the first round to move positions. He did it. I really believe now when you look at Nico, I don't know if this is going to be his best position, although a lot of scouts are saying that this might be his best position. You might be looking at another multiple gold glove guy at second base. My viewing of Nico and watching him, I'm looking at an elite baseball player for the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
An all-star. I think he's going to be a perennial all-star. I really do.
I picked him to be my Cubs MVP for this year. Yeah. Because I think all around, Coom, he is the consummate team guy. He's going to take a step at the plate. We're going to start to gradually see more power from him, I think, over time. And you're right. Second base, shortstop, wherever he plays, he brings his glove, and it's a golden one. He's ready to go defensively. I love this move for the Cubs and what it says about the future. Let me ask you this. How do you think it affects potentially what they do with Ian Happ if the two are related at all?
I don't think they're related, and I'll say this, and there's a reason why. They're two very different scenarios, right? Their timing is the same, but they're very different. Ian has played here now in Chicago for quite some time, and he's up for free agency at the end of the year. The Cubs are trying to buy out some of the arbitration years for Nico. So very different situations for both players. Very different for Jed in the front office, too. You know, they're just, that's totally different scenarios. So I really understood them trying to go out and buy out some of Nico's arbitration years. Now, with Ian, Ian's a guy that you're looking at, and his scenario plays out where the Cubs are pretty stacked with minor league prospects. But there's a key word in that, prospects. They're not big league players yet, and they're certainly not proven that they're going to be able to hit at the big league level, right? Major league hitters are major league hitters. Until you do it, you have a big question mark after your name. I don't care how good you have done in the minor leagues. So that is one of those things where I believe, you know, that the Cubs were, I don't want to say reluctant, but were debating on whether do you keep Ian, do you not keep him, do you sign him? I think a lot of these young players, you know, they're unloaded in the minor leagues.
That's it.
The outfield.
That I mean, you can't ignore that, especially if you're Jed Hoyer and especially if you are Carter Hawkins and you're looking at what it would cost to sign an all-star outfielder who has all the leverage right now because he's coming off of that kind of a year. That's not saying it's never going to happen. It's just saying not now. Not ever, but just not now.
David, you're right on the money, and I believe this. When and if, and I believe Ian has taken a major step forward in his game too. I really do. When you look at his right-handed hitting, he's a different hitter than he was 2 years ago. And major improvements. And you're looking at a guy who took a big step forward last year. You see a calmness about his game now. I think he's going to take another big step forward. So when you look at Ian in left field, he may push the Cubs into going, you know what? He's playing well. This is 2 years in a row. This isn't a fluke. He's hitting right in the heart of our lineup. He can run. He can go get him in the outfield. He's a gold glover. Who else are we going to get to do better than that? So maybe you can use these prospect guys possibly to go out and get some pitching help or some other help that you need. But I think Ian has taken a big step forward. But very different scenarios between Nico and Ian.
I'm going to be sure to ask Jed Hoyer about that at 8 o'clock when he joins us here on the Mullin Haw Show, Coom. And I also think that I'll ask him about the roster decision. I want to get your take because Christopher Morel is a guy I know you like, and his enthusiasm is infectious, and his versatility is valuable. He's not going to be in the opening day roster. Neither is Rowan Wick, a guy who at one point in time was projected as a potential closer for the Cubs. How much did those decisions surprise you?
The Rowan Wick one surprised me. I thought that was but his performance, you know, he's got to figure some things out. That's at the end of the day, you know, you've got to get hitters out. You got to be more consistent. And some young guys pitch their way onto the team like Assad, you know, and push some other guys out like Rowan. So, you know, you've got that scenario and Assad able to pitch multiple innings. So he just pitched his way onto the roster. It's just that simple. So that pushed Wick out, I believe. What was the other one you said? Oh, Morel. Christopher.
Yeah.
So Christopher, I'm a huge Christopher Morel fan. I really am. But I do believe there is some rawness to his game when you watch it at certain positions that he would benefit by playing every day and playing one or two positions, not all over the field, and getting some real instruction at those positions. I think center field would be a great spot for him and getting some reps. If you're thinking about third base, he needs work at third of understanding the game speed. And what I mean by that is his game clock needs some adjusting. On routine ground balls, he takes an extra hop in throwing the ball to third or first base. To me, that's got to quicken up a little bit in his footwork because all the plays are bang-bang at third base at first, and they shouldn't be. right? So there's a little bit there. His best position to me so far was second base. Well, he's not going to play second base. Nico's right. going to play every day. So there's some things out there that he could work on, and maybe that will be something that he gets to do in Iowa, and you're not trying to learn on the fly in the big leagues. I was hoping he made the team. I just love his energy. I love what he does. Even though his adjustments come a little slow in the game at times, he still makes them, and he still goes deep about, you know, every 15 at-bats, the guy blasts one, and that's a dangerous thing when you're the opposing team.
Coom, everybody makes predictions on opening day, and most of them tend to be a little bit exaggerated because optimism is in the air. There are no wrong answers today. I said 83 victories for the Cubs. I think they are improved in the rotation. I like the way they surrounded the infield with veterans. I love the Dansby Swanson signing. So I am maybe optimistic that they can win 83 games. Some people think that's low. Some people think that's ridiculous. You don't have to put a number on it because I know you see them every day. But in terms of what are reasonable expectations for this team, what are they in your eyes?
Well, I would say this. You're probably looking at, if you were being reasonable without seeing what's going to, you know, without knowing what's going to happen here coming up. I don't agree with the baseball experts, supposed experts, in that low to mid 70s. I think they're a better team than that. Are they a 92 or 93 win team? That's a big question mark to me. So I think somewhere in the middle there, David. And I think you're right. When you look at the team right now, you know, 500 at the All-Star break, I'm sure they would be okay with. If certain things like Bellinger in center field, that works out, the first base position works out with these veteran guys, all of a sudden you get Seiya back and his extra strength when he's healthy works out. Now you're talking about, you know, really competing with the Cardinals and this Brewers team. You know, does that mean 83 to 85 wins? Possible. But things got to work out, you know, and that's to be determined. But this is a better team than the 73-74 that we heard about at the beginning of spring. I think they're, you know, 81 to 85, and then, you know, that always can be pushed forward, kind of like the Cubs' second half last year. No one predicted them to be over 500 the second half with the roster they had, and they did.
Before we take a break here, Coom, Hayden Wesneski came into camp with the opportunity to become the fifth starter. He seized it. He was as good from the outside looking in. You were there, but he looked as sharp as any starter that took the mound for the Cubs, and then he won the job. He is going to be the fifth starter. How did he do it in your mind? What did he do best?
First of all, he was prepared to pitch, right? He was ready to go. The first day he took the mound in a big league game in spring training, he was game on. There was no feeling around, right? His fastball was crisp. His slider was sharp. He could use all his pitches. He threw strikes, and he never pitched like he was afraid of the lineup, right, to me as a young guy. And that happens. That's not a physical thing all the time, David. That's a mental thing where you're at the peak of your performance, knowing that every time you get the ball on the mound in a game, it really matters right now in spring training to make the team. And he pitched his way right into that fifth spot. He was the best on the staff in spring training. The one pitch to me that really was significant for him in spring training is that slider. He's got more of a sweeping action to his slider, going away from the right-handed hitter down and away, or down and in to the lefty. And I think he was able to command that pitch early in the count for a strike, and then able to throw it away for a ball and get the chase on that pitch. And he also throws 95. So that 95 inside, you know, is significant. And I think he was ready to go when he got the baseball.
All right, Coom, your public awaits. 312-644-6767. Call or text your questions for Ron Coomer, the Cubs baseball analyst here on The Score. Coom is going to take your calls. We will read your texts. Let us know what you think. He's going to be with us for another segment before we get to Jed Hoyer, who's going to join us at 8 o'clock. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ron Coomer, kind enough to join us for another segment. He's got a big day ahead. He's going to be in the booth next to Pat Hughes, certainly calling the game pregame at 12:45. And he's going to be out of Sluggers as well, where the Bernstein and Holmes show with Layla Rahimi will be from 10 to 12:45 right after this show. So, Coom, we're getting some texts and a lot of people weighing in. Want to know, a couple guys, especially Nick from New Lenox, say, what about Kyle Hendricks? Haven't heard a lot about him. How is he and when will he return? What do you think?
I had a chance to talk to Kyle probably a week ago. Very happy. You know, he's throwing batting practice. He's on track. He was throwing his pens, I should say. And everything from what he said was going very well. There were a number of bullpens that he had to throw to make the next step, right? And this is like a few weeks ago now. The number was, or at the beginning of camp, was 10, right? He had to throw 10 bullpens, 2 a week. So he's on track, but it's going to be a little bit before he gets to pitching in Chicago. You know, he's had no spring training. So when he starts throwing live BPs and he's on the field, and, you know, then he's going to have to go to, you know, extended spring training and pitch in those games, and then maybe go to Iowa or somewhere and pitch a couple times in Iowa before we see him in Chicago. I don't think there's any major rush to get him back,
right?
Other than you want him healthy, right? That's the main thing. And once he's healthy, then he'll be here. But everything says he's, you know, probably looking at mid-May, I would say. You know, I'm not a trainer or a doctor, but, you know, just understanding our game and the time that takes could be, you know, the 1st of May, mid-May.
Another injury-related question, Seiya Suzuki. Now, he has been back, and I think he played in a minor league game. That oblique strain, not something that is easy, certainly nothing to sneeze at because you might re-aggravate it. What's the latest on Seiya Suzuki?
That was real encouraging to me, David, that he's playing in games already. So when it first happened, you know, the injury was significant, right? So you're looking at 6 to 8 weeks. He's playing in games now, and when he was swinging in regular batting practice and he hit a ball out of the ballpark, I went, if he comes back the next day and he can swing again and he's not sore, we're looking at a major improvement, and he's getting close. And he did, and he's now playing in games. So we can expect to see Seiya fairly soon, I would think. He'll probably, you know, they're going to want him to get his legs underneath him a little bit too, because it's another thing. He didn't get a spring training. So, you know, it takes a little bit, you know, for him to get back, you know, fielding balls and running around the field day after day after day. So they're going to give him a little bit of time, but we will see him here fairly soon.
Kumwali from Clear Ridge texts in and says, interesting question. What was the best advice that you got before your first opening day, if you can remember, and who was it from?
Best advice, my first opening day was from Kirby Puckett, and it was another Chicago guy, right? Yep. And everybody understands Puck and knew Puck. Just enjoy it, right? Take it all in. His comment to me, he always called me kid because, you know, we were both from the south side of Chicago, and he goes, no, I'm really from the south side of Chicago. And Puck would always tell me, hey, kid, make sure you take it all in. And, you know, we were getting ready to go down to I was lockered next to him, which was just, locker next to him was like locker next to the Pied Piper, you know. He had people coming by all the time, but he was a great friend, and we miss him a lot. But that was, you know, take it all in, kid.
A lot of new faces, a lot of new people taking it all in today for the Cubs. One of them belongs to Luis Torrens, the third catcher, Coom. Three catchers on this roster, that's a little bit of a surprise. Were you?
I was a little bit surprised, but Torrens has the ability to do different things. He played some second base the other day. He's the third catcher, but I really think he's the guy that makes the team to round out the roster, right? So what you're looking at more so than him being the third catcher, David, is a guy that has some thump off the bench, right? And a guy that can give David the ability to make some moves, whether it be left, right, later in the game with his catchers, if you want to pinch hit or pinch run, but then still have a guy on the bench that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. And he's a right-handed guy. So I think when you're looking at the roster, the Cubs were trying to make more of a well-rounded roster and filling some of these spots that David had or holes that David might have had And you got a guy, you know, it's a good story, too. He worked hard and has done a lot of good things, so makes the team.
To wrap things up, Coom, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Tommy Hotovy the other day when he was a guest on our show. So it's 3-2. It's the ninth inning. The Cubs have the lead, and they want to close things out today. Who gets the ball, and how much confidence do you have in the player you're giving the ball to?
Wow, I don't get paid enough for this question, David. That's a David Ross question. you're going to have the gentleman, you're going to have the baseball operations guy on next with Jed Hoyer.
Yeah.
I think it's going to, here at the very beginning, I would say it would probably be Boxberger if I were to actually put a name in there right now. And I think it's going to trend towards, as the season progresses, towards Keegan. But we will see how that goes. That's just a guess.
Well, that's intriguing because I thought you said Michael Fulmer.
Well, I look at it and Fulmer's going to be in that mix too. I think it's going to be by committee, and I also think that depending on the guys' workloads as we progress, who pitched the most the day before, who's ready to go. I think David's going to use it by committee here now, but. The guy that has these answers is coming on next with Jed Hoyer. He's got the answers for you. He's
Coom.
Yeah,
he did a great job.
That's
all Chicago needs is another committee.
Are we going to talk politics?
No,
we got another
not,
hour.
Coom.
Okay,
no, we're
good.
Not. You're getting ready. You got to get over to the Sluggers. You got some hands to shake and babies to kiss and all that stuff.
Absolutely. I'm great to be back on with you. I got to see Mully in spring training in Arizona, and look forward to being on with you and Mikey. I'm all season long, buddy.
We love it, Coom. We'll see you a little bit later at Wrigley. Thank you for joining us the entire 7 o'clock hour. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Ron Coomer, the Scores baseball analyst in the booth today, next to Pat Hughes and Zach Zaidman. Zach's pregame, 12:45, right here on the Score. He's going to be broadcasting live from Sluggers, where the Bernstein and Holmes show with Layla Rahimi will be beginning at 10 o'clock. Yes, opening day at Sluggers. Go celebrate with them. BetMGM and the Score are teaming up to celebrate today's occasion, opening day everywhere. So you want to go out there, get some swag, have some fun, drink some beers or whatever your choice of beverage is. And when we come back, it's time to talk to Jed Hoyer, the Cubs team president. He will join us next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.